what? I mean, that like hit me hard emotionally. And so that night I made what I call a clarifying decision. And these are decisions you can make anytime, but it's a decision that takes you from lantern mode into laser mode.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Get Your Fill, Financial Independence and Long Life, where we explore ways to achieve those two goals. And we invite people on to help us who are going to unlock us and help us to clear out our like head hacks and I don't know, lots of stuff. Blaine Elkers is with us today, and he is amazing. He's already like got me thinking about lots of things just in the few seconds that we had to converse before we started the recording. So Blaine is a TEDx speaker, which is way cool. He's a leading authority in personal implementation and consistency. Need any of those things? He's America's only chief results officer, which every company needs. Mine certainly needs that. He's a habit master with documented streaks of 1,516 days in a row and counting. What? I think I'd be happy to have that many minutes in a row. He is a top level LinkedIn connector. He's got over 25,000 first level connections. He graduated from Purdue University and Stanford University Social Entrepreneurship Program. He's powered by what he calls selfluence, which is cool. Influencing yourself, a personal development and training company. And he's excited to share with us ways that we can take control of our life by taking control of ourselves, right? We're our own worst enemy. Blaine, thanks so much for being with us today.
Christine, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here. And you're doing a lot of good things out there. There are a lot of people that are looking to turn around their business, looking to start a business, looking to get involved. And you're not only talking about it, but you're actually doing it. And that's what I love. And I would encourage people to, you know, subscribe to this podcast, listen, but look for the mentors, not only the mentors who have done it, those are good mentors, but the mentors who are doing it, like actively doing it right now. And so you're doing that. I've just listened to one of your things on Airbnbs. And so you're doing it now. So let's connect with you and let's move towards financial independence and long life. Two things that you put those two together, you're going to be happy.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Blaine. So you're right that I'm doing it, but let me just tell you, I've got so many little initiatives going on at the moment that sometimes I feel like I walk into one room, like sometimes I say, why am I here? Sometimes I know why I walked in, but then I get involved in a project in that room and then I need something. So I go in another room and like, oh, that's right. I left this thing half done. I just have a lot of trouble like feeling really productive. And I think that, you know, you have some tools to help us with that.
Very common stuff. And we can unpack that. And most people, I mean, the mind is very expansive. The mind is like a lantern in all directions, right? And there are some things you can do to turn the lantern into the laser, right? And really focus in on something. And yeah, it's difficult, but as an entrepreneur, would-be entrepreneur or whatever, you have to get comfortable with the word no. So you almost have to, sometimes they say you have to become Dr. No. But you're saying no for the bigger yes. So we can do anything, but we can't do everything. So anyway, choosing, making those selections, yes, difficult, but we could talk about some frameworks to help people along the way. But it's hard to, even in today's like the hardest ever to stay focused because there's so many distractions, right? I mean, so close is this little device, which can be used for good or for evil. We want it for good, but it's tricky.
No, I mean, I did that earlier today. I picked up the phone to see what time our meeting was. And I had like all these text messages. So I did the text messages and then I sat down. I was like, Chris, you didn't look up what time the thing is. I'm like, oh my goodness. But now tell me, Blaine, were you always this person? Were you always like super organized and always knew like you were going to be the master of productivity and getting results like that?
Well, I would say I've always been a little bit of a planner person, but I wasn't always that efficient. So I'm a good planner, but like you, I have this kind of like monkey mind. I have all these ideas. You know, my wife had to put me on a 12-step program for domain purchases, right? So I have, 250 domains. And when it got up to like 300 domains, because I have all these ideas, right? So I'm buying domains. GoDaddy loves me. But I buy all these domains because I have all these ideas. But now, you know, now if I want to buy a new one, I have to let one of the other ones go. So anyway, there are ways to manage that. But I have a lot of ideas. I want to do a lot of things. So I had to figure out some ways and some structures and some frameworks to get there. And I had a couple of moments of dawning comprehension. One was in college where, I've always been a seeker. That's probably one of my better traits, is I want to know, what could I do, and that's how I kind of found you, is looking for ways to improve finances, ways to improve longevity. So I've always been the seeker. And in college, I saw this ad for this book, Think and Grow Rich, and it was an audio read by Earl Nightingale. So I sent away for that and I got the audio. Then I read the book, and it was there that I had this first thought, like, what you think about, you bring about. I made a little acronym for that, YTABA, but what you think about, you bring about. And that started to serve me really well, that my thoughts, with my actions, like what you think about, you bring it about. So my thoughts with corresponding actions were kind of making things happen. Now, I couldn't control circumstances, but I could control how I reacted to those circumstances. And so that made a big, big difference. That was the first moment. The second moment, which kind of led to me becoming America's only chief results officer, was I was working a corporate job, and my degree was in computer science, and I came back from a business trip, and my son, Bo, he was about 1 year old, and he gave me the cold shoulder. And I said, "Hey, Beth, what's going on with Bo? Is he sick? What's happening?" He says, "Well, you were gone so long, he kind of forgot who you were." And I was like, "What?" I mean, that like hit me hard emotionally. And so that night I made what I call a clarifying decision. And these are decisions you can make anytime, but it's a decision that takes you from lantern mode into laser mode. And I made a clarifying decision. I said, "No matter what, I'm going to work from home, no matter what." So I went on, I started two businesses. And it took me a year. Now, my wife and I were pretty conservative. We wanted to have X number of months of living expenses in the bank and all this stuff. And she kind of said, "Look, when your side hustle is making the same amount of money as your full-time job, you can then quit as long as we have enough money in the bank." So it took me a year. That was probably the most stressful year of our marriage, but we got 30 years in, so we're doing okay. But anyway, so that started that journey. And a year later, I became this work from home dad. And now for 27 years, kids are actually grown and out of the nest. I was this work from home dad. But what it gave me was the ability to do what you said and to figure out, what is my real purpose on the planet? And it was to help people take control of their lives by taking control of themselves. So in 2009, I started a company called Selfluence, the art and science of influencing yourself, or maybe the power you already have to influence yourself. And that's where I started helping people, mostly business owners, get results kind of on a weekly basis, refocus, accountability, and simple, not always easy, but simple frameworks to move them in the right direction that they wanted to go. And for me, that's success. If you pick a goal, something it's personal to you, and you're moving towards it, I consider you a success. So I was helping a lot of mastermind groups, and they said, "Hey, we're going to call you the chief results officer." I go, "I like that. I hadn't heard that before." So I took the CRO title, and then I realized nobody else had it. So I went to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and I trademarked it. Did it myself. Cost a couple $100. Wasn't that hard to do. It took about 6-7 months. Then I got the R with the circle, so the registered trademark. So then I can say I'm America's only chief results officer. If you'd like to be a chief results officer, you have to license it from me. So far, I have not licensed it out yet. But anyway, there's a little, maybe that's more of a story than you wanted, but that's kind of how I landed here today.
But now I find this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but when I work from home, I feel like I'm always at work, and it's hard for me to just like shut the door and say, "Okay, it's time to go home now." Right? I was like, "I'll just do this one more thing. I'll just do this one more thing." And next thing you know, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. And you're like, "Oh man, I got to go brush my teeth and go to bed. That's it." So how did you maintain that?
Yeah. I mean, two things work for me. One is my wife, which is like, she has been my guardrails, my boundaries of, kind of avoiding that overwork syndrome, because it's very easy to do. Even like after kids go back to bed, you slip back in to do some more work. But the real key is a couple of things. One is having a work space, like a space that you dedicate to work, if you can, and then is having some type of starting routine and ending routine, some type of bookends to the work time. And when you say, work is done or work complete, I have a daily sheet that I use. I'm a little more analog than digital. I like paper. I like handwriting my schedule, my to-do list each day. But on the analog side, I have a box that I check, work complete. And then that's it. Then that's the shutdown mode. And you need those routines. You need those bookends. The other thing that helped me was I was a very, or I am a very type A person, right? Get it done, results, self-discipline and all that stuff. But when I got into the science behind not working, I found that it's more beneficial to you and your output and your results if you stop the work. You know, for a couple of reasons. One, you kind of regain, you got a little recovery time, but your subconscious mind needs time to work on some of your biggest challenges in your business. And you give it that time by not working, by not proactively working, by getting out, closing it down for the night, watching some Netflix. Now, I'm not talking about binge watching, but doing some other things and letting the subconscious mind have a little breathing room. And also, if you can do other things like exercise and eat right and those things, you're kind of feeding those results from I don't have to be doing something all the time standpoint. The other thing is taking a little time. I'm a big planner, but 1 minute of planning saves 10 minutes of execution. But if you could plan a little bit, that also can help you to plan out to work on the things that are of highest value, right? We all, like if I asked you, have you heard of the 80-20 rule? Have you heard of that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Pareto's principle, everyone believes in it, but no one is really using it.
Practice it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So that means if you have 10 things, they say 20% of what you do produces 80% of your results, right? So if you have 10 things to do, two of those produce 80% of your results. Just do those two. You can oust the 80. You can forget about the other 80, and you're going to be a super success if you're just doing those high value things and maintain that. So I also teach entrepreneurs to move from most are behind. I say move from a day behind to being a day ahead. And so one of my missions in life is to have, this army of day ahead entrepreneurs, so like when I wake up, my day's done. Like I have appointments, like do this podcast, but all my to-dos are for future days. Like I've already done today's in the past. So when I wake up, my schedule is a little more free, a little more open, and life is better a day ahead. So anyway, that's a whole another discussion, but that's, to me, then I'm my best self when I'm ahead, not behind.
Wow. So, I mean, I can hear like people on the other side of the airwaves saying a day ahead, right? I can hardly get, time to eat lunch. I mean, how do you get all these things done in the space of a day when, most people are struggling to walk out the door at 8 o'clock, especially most entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah. I would say the number one framework, I often say powered by self-fluence. It's self-fluence. We do teach a concept called the 30-minute hour. So that's how to get an hour's worth of stuff done in just 30 minutes, right? So you're literally compressing time. And so now this, we'll unpack it here for the listeners, but it's very powerful. And I want to make sure that it's used for good and not for evil. So let's say, Christine, let's say you and I, we did 4 30-minute hours in a row. So we got 4 hours worth of stuff done in just 2 hours. That leaves us 2 hours of guilt-free time. And so my question for you is going to be, what would you do with 2 guilt-free hours? Now, here's the clause. You can't use it to work. Now, I might say, I'd work more, get more done. No. It has to be used for non-work stuff. So for me, I've got a Peloton bike, which I love. I've ridden it like 600 and something days in a row. So I'd probably take a Peloton bike, right? I like hiking outdoors. So I probably do a little hike. I like connecting with old friends. And then I work from home and I like the good old-fashioned power nap. So that's what I would do with my 2 guilt-free, do whatever you want hours. What would you do with 2 guilt-free hours?
Wow. That's interesting. I actually, sometimes I just like to take a drive, especially nice. Like today it's quite hot here, for in New England, we're not used to like over 90 degrees. It's like 97 or something. And so we're all running around sweating and being uncomfortable, but you can drive. It's really beautiful to look outside, so I could just take a drive to the ocean or something and just like, really, I find those kinds of things really relaxing. I sing my songs really loud. I obviously have to be alone in the car. but yeah,
listen,
that's
if I was there, actually, I'd be singing with you if I was there.
Awesome. Let's
you
go.
Have some friends that will sing with you. No, that's perfect. That's good. And so the idea here is we're going to show everyone how to have these 30-minute hours, but I want you to take some of that time and put some of those things back in your life, right? Put some of those things, and maybe you don't have time for a drive, but maybe you have time to rock out to a song. I often do a little happy dance, 80s rock craziness, here in my office and in my home office, and my wife's like going, oh, he's celebrating something in there. Anyway, put some of that stuff back in your life. So let's talk about this. The 30-minute hour. So how to get an hour's worth of stuff done in just 30 minutes. Now, there's a day. There's a day of the year. Now, some people have this day more than once in the year, but there's a day of the year where people are 3 to 10 times more productive than their ordinary day. So that's 3x to 10x. We're only looking for 2x. We're just looking for 60 down to 30. But they're 3 to 10 times more productive than they are in an ordinary day. Do you know what day of the year that is?
I bet it's the day before you leave for vacation.
You got it. You got it. So here's the thing
myself.
That,
yes, absolutely.
That people need to realize. People need to realize that you already know how to do it. You don't need to learn anything new. You just need to bring back the day before vacation mode. So I have a little card here in my home office to remind me of day before vacation mode. And I put a little acronym together so that you could kind of remember it. And the acronym is PDF. Now, PDF is easy to remember because people say, email me the PDF or print out the PDF. So yeah. PDF is easy. Now, when someone says, email me the PDF, they're talking about portable document format. That's what it means in the tech world. But for us, it means plan, delegate, focus. Right. So the way to have 30 minute hours is to think of 30 minute hours, think day before vacation mode, and then think PDF, plan, delegate, focus. So let me unpack each one of those so people can kind of use it practically. So the day before vacation, you typically plan out that day so much better than other days. Like you're like, oh, look, I only have so many hours before I leave on vacation. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. If you would just take a few minutes, I often say give planning 1% of your day, 14.4 minutes of your day to plan, you will have 30 minute hours. You'll get more done because you're also put the containers or the limits on your time, right? So you say, look, I've got to write this article. I've got to do this. I've got to call this person back. I've got to get to the bank. I've got to secure this loan, all these different things. And you look at that and you say, well, now you start putting it into buckets of time, right? And so planning is a big one. So if you'll just take a few moments to plan out your day, you're going to be more effective. The second part of that is on the day before vacation, people wake up 30 to 60 minutes earlier than they do on a normal day. So you could have a 30 minute hour by getting 30 extra minutes, just wake up 30 minutes extra. Now, I'm not saying you do that every day, but anyway, that's another thing from the day before vacation. The other part of it is you have a very clear vision for what you need to do. So when you, if you plan out that day and make it like the day before vacation, you're less interruptible, you're less distracted or distractible, right? Because you have that clear vision for what you want to do. And you're a little bit more of a master of the 80-20 rule that we talked about, right? So you're looking at, you're focusing on the 20% of the needle mover stuff because you don't have time to do the other 80% of the stuff. Defer that stuff, push that stuff out into the future. So that's planning. The second thing is on the day before vacation, all of a sudden your skill level in delegating goes through the roof. You're like, okay, you do this. Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you go do that? You know, my wife often will say, look, I need to run some errands. Can I do anything for you? Bing, 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 30 minute hour for me, because now she'll go to the post office or the bank or the do all the stuff, the errands stuff. So right. I don't have to do it. So look to delegate, you know, and the key phrase there is who before do. So if you think who before do, so you think who could do this before you go do this, right? And you'll create this list because on the day before vacation, you know you can't do it all. So you're much more likely to delegate. So bring some of that back in to your daily kind of daily life. And so it's plan, delegate. And the last one, which is the most powerful, is you have this odd, very powerful, fierce focus on the day before vacation. Now, some of it is you have a big reward at the end of the day. So you can put that in. You know, I often put in rewards for my day, but think about your focus and what doesn't happen. So the day before vacation, there's no idle chit chat. There's no long internet searches. There's no chasing shiny objects. No, all that stuff is gone away because you're really focused on kind of the job at hand. No long responses, no long phone calls, right? And like I said earlier in the show, you become Dr. No. No is the most powerful word to get to have 30 minute hours. So people will ask me, Blaine, can you do this? No, 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 no. I'm Dr. No all day long, the day before vacation. So I bring that back into my regular day. And my default answer is no. Now, maybe then I have to look at my schedule or whatever, but the default answer, you know, is no. And that not only does that bring more 30 minute hours, but it helps you avoid the 90 minute hour. Right? That's where someone asks for an hour of your time and then it takes 90 minutes. Or could you just do this little project and it should only take you an hour? No, it takes 90 minutes. So you lose time. So no is really important. The other thing is the day before vacation, you stay on schedule like no other day, right? So how do you keep yourself on schedule? Two ways. The day before vacation, you're using alarms, like at 1 o'clock, I've got to start this project. At 2 o'clock, I've got to meet somebody. So I'll put alarms in my phone for that. And then you use timers. So I use timers instead of just like saying, I've got 15 minutes to check email or 30 minutes to make these two phone calls, right? I will set timers all day long, not just the day before vacation. I'll set a timer so that I know this is how much time I have, right? And then ding, 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 it goes off. I ask Siri to do a few things and she sets them automatically for me. So the use of timers. And then the last part of your focus is on the day before vacation, you become this tasking master, master of tasking. And tasking has three components: single tasking, multitasking, sometimes it gets a bad rap, or batch tasking. And so single tasking, that is the stuff only you can do. And this is where I generate the most 30-minute hours from single tasking. What I mean by single tasking is you do only one thing. You go from the lantern, to the laser. And what you do is, for example, I can get an hour's worth of article writing. I write a lot of articles, but I can get an hour's worth of article writing done in just 30 minutes if I will shut down the world. What does that mean? Phone goes into airplane mode. All the windows on my computer are shut down except the one I'm typing in. My door is closed, right? I have a stack of scrap paper. Why? Because the monkey mind, Blaine's monkey mind, is going to take over and say, what about this? Or what about that? Or what are you going to say to Christina on her podcast? Blah, 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 all that stuff. But when that happens, I just write down the thought and I put it aside and I get right back to my work. So that fierce focus without any distractions, that single tasking mode is very, very important. You'll get a lot more done if you completely shut out the world and go to that. Now, multitasking, that's where you can do two things at the same time without sacrificing the quality of either one, right? So there's not a lot of these, but for example, on the day before vacation, if I'm going to be driving for 30 minutes, I'm not just going to listen to music and sing like I might on a normal day. I'm going to say, look, 30 minutes, I can make some phone calls. I got a hand-free phone. It's very safe. I can drive and I can make calls. I can do those two things at the same time. Or exercise. I love exercise, but I love learning. So I can do those things together. Ride the Peloton, listen to a podcast, right? So there's ways that you can do, wherever you can do kind of two things and not sacrifice the quality, that's multitasking. And then the last one is batch tasking. Now, this is where you batch things together, right? So if day before vacation, I'm going to run some errands. I'm not going to run an errand, come back, run an errand, come. No, I batch them all together. Go out, run all the errands, come back. Same thing with like phone calls. If you batch them all, you can get it much more efficient. Or your work on the computer, batch that. And the last thing that people batch really well, specifically on the day before vacation, is people. Now, you batch your communications with people. For example, let's say you're working with a team or you have employees and you say, look, I'm going to be single task mode from 9 to 11, but at 11, let's get together and I'll answer any questions you have from the morning, from 11 to 11:30. So they have questions for you, but instead of interrupting you, they put it in a file or they take notes or whatever, and then you do it at one time. My wife and I, she also works from home, and we used to interrupt each other all day long with texting. And then it was like, wait, this is ridiculous. We have a shared note. So the iPhone, you can have these shared notes where both people can see what's typed in the note. So we'll put this stuff there, but that creates no ring, ding, or bing on the phone. And then when we have lunch together, whatever, when we're in the context of each other, then we look at all those batched, thoughts, basically. So that's super, super efficient. So there it is. So think, when you think 30-minute hour, think day before vacation mode, PDF, plan, delegate, focus. And then the last thing I would say is there is something weird that happens is that on the day before vacation, you allow yourself to release your inner perfectionist. So you allow yourself to release your inner perfectionist. Done is better than perfect. Done is the engine of more. And you let that go. And it's okay if it's not 100%. You let it be at 80, right? Or you let somebody do something that you know you could do better, but it's the day before vacation. I got to let it go. And you let more stuff go. So bring the release of that inner perfectionist. Bring that back to your regular day and you'll be saving a lot more time and you'll be getting a lot more done. That was a lot to unpack. And I talked fast, but I wanted to get all that in.
No, but Blaine, it's so brilliant because as soon as you said that, right, I actually just came back from, it wasn't a vacation, but it was a work trip, but I was going to be out of the office and I wasn't going to be planning to do much work. So I just did exactly what you said. I was like laser focused. I was like, okay, this can wait. This one person could do this. And it was so easy. And you're right. I probably got a week's worth of work done in about an hour, but because I knew exactly, I had to think exactly the way you suggested. So I think even if you wouldn't have explained it, I probably would have got the real gist of it, just visualizing myself the day before, or even 3 hours before I'm ready to walk out the door and get on a plane, you know, it's just like a machine, right?
Right. And maybe you just have to kind of, you know, lead yourself in that direction. Meaning like, you know, you might say, I'm going to take Wednesday off. So if you say, I'm going to take Wednesday off on Monday night, you are going to have one of the best Tuesdays that you've ever had, because you're going to condense all that Wednesday stuff into Tuesday. Right. And you're going to go into that day before vacation mode. So whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed or stressed, I do this thing called a mind dump, but then I go into day before vacation mode. And sometimes I'll even say that. So, you know what? I'm going to take tomorrow morning off. I'm going to go for a hike. I'm going to do something. But to do that, okay, I got to, you know, really focus in.
Yeah. Well, and then you get the reward too. I think your brain probably starts to say, oh, okay, I do this really good work and I get a nice reward. And, you know, I mean, that's probably going to do something as well to your subconscious and your, I don't know, whatever part of you learns how to do stuff.
Yeah, no, your brain chemistry wants you to stay alive, wants you to get stuff done. Every time you get something done, you get a little squirt of dopamine, which makes you feel good and you want to do more. That's why you do something that's not on your list, but you write it on the list and you make a checkbox and you check it off, even though it's already done, because that's giving you, you know, that feel-good chemical. And it is kind of like the battle of the brain chemicals, and it can go for you or against you. I mean, you can not get a lot of stuff done, get overwhelmed, feel bad. Your body starts producing, you know, depressing kind of brain chemicals, and you lose your energy. And it's a spiral down, and you get filled with head trash, you know, and so you gotta, you want to hack that head trash. And I like to say, you want to win early, win often. So I will, if I'm struggling with something, I will dial the resistance so far down, you know, that it gets done. Like, what I mean by that is, like, let's say I'm coaching someone and they say, I'm going to exercise 30 minutes a day. I go, well, that's great. All right, let's do it. And then next week, how many days did you do it? I only did it 3 days. Yeah. Okay. How'd that make you feel? Felt like crap. Okay. So you have to win every day. So why don't we do this? Let's say that you're going to exercise this next week for 1 minute a day, 1 minute, 1 minute a day. Like, you can just do push-ups and jumping jacks before you get in the shower. That counts, right? And start there, because you want to win, because that's what builds the streaks and that's what builds the consistency. And then that builds your self-confidence. And then, yeah, or maybe you start with 5 minutes, whatever it is. But if you're going to miss your goal, I would rather you dial it down and still do something, rather than totally, you know, totally just miss it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, because in your scenario, you had a person who was working out not at all. And then they started working out 3 days a week, which is great. Right.
Right.
But they felt terrible about themselves because they didn't do it every single day. It's like, you know, yeah, you've got to give yourself permission to be excited about what you've accomplished. And if it's a minute, that I have a thing, you know, I have friends who want to walk and they want to get healthy and blah, blah, blah. And it's the same kind of thing. Oh, well, I'm going to run for half an hour. Like, no, you're not. Come on. You know, but if you get up at, like, every single morning, get up 5 minutes early so that you can spend 1 minute exercising and do that for a week. And then add 1 minute and make it 2 minutes, you know, and then by the end of the year, right, you're almost exercising for an hour. I mean, it's.
Yeah. There's a famous psychologist, and he told the story of this person that wouldn't exercise, and they had the treadmill, and he tried all kinds of things and it just wouldn't do it. And he said, you know what, here's the deal. I just want you to stand on the treadmill for 5 seconds. Just don't even turn on, just stand on it tomorrow, you know? And so they went from that, you know, to then, you know, stand on it for a minute, you know, then maybe turn it on. Right. And it was just this really slow process, but it was a winning process. Yeah. And that person got end up to where, you know, whatever they were doing, an hour a day or something, and they would never miss it. The other thing about streaks and consistency is, once you get 3 or 4 days in a row, you don't want to miss. Right. And then it gets stronger and stronger and more powerful. Like you mentioned in my bio, now I'm up to, because it's a running count. So these two things I've done 1575 days in a row. Right. You know, and so that, you know, that I don't want to miss those items. I don't want to break that streak. I've had some where after like 400 or 500 days, you miss it for some reason, and life can hit you, you know, but they become really powerful in just 3 or 4 days. That's where the power starts. But then when you get up to a couple of weeks and then a month and then a couple of months, and yeah, then you really want to keep it going. So it has a psychological power, you know, of getting just a few days in a row. Yeah.
Well, but it's not just doing it, also it's tracking it, because, you know, I without realizing it, you might have done something for a week or a month or something, but if you're not really paying attention to it, you're not going to feel as sad when you, or as like, oh man, I really got to get this done. I don't want to lose my winning streak. You know what I mean? When it's not just the doing, it's also the tracking. I think that's very powerful.
Yes. Yes. And two things on the tracking. One is I do the self plan on Friday afternoons, and I do have like a personal and a business scorecard. So I'm tracking stuff there. And that isn't a document that I put the numbers in. So I have it, but now so many of these things are in apps, right? You know, so like the two streaks I have is one is this Bible app, which I really like. And the other is a Headspace, which I use to take a mind shower. Like most people wash their physical body. I like to wash my mind out in the morning. You know, so I take this mind shower, but those apps track it, right? So those apps, every day I open it up, ding, ding, another day, great job, you know, and it's that positive reinforcement. Right, so a lot of times apps can easily, you know, easily track some of that stuff for you, which is nice.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. Might as well use the little machine to our benefit, right?
Right. Now it can be very powerful against you. So yes, you have to figure out ways to use it for good. And I do like airplane mode on my phone. I tell people it's not just for airplanes, you know, and you know, it's good. It's healthy to put the world, turn it off for a little bit. You know, I typically try to do that, you know, sometime each day. I remember one day I had this great day. It was like 5 or 6 hours later. And I'm like, man, this was such a great day. I'm like, oh yeah, I left my phone in airplane mode. Now, when I turned it on, it lit up like a Christmas tree, but it only took me like 20, 30 minutes to triage all that stuff, which would have just derailed my day. Some of the stuff had already been, somebody found their own solution, you know, and the world's okay. The world's going to be okay. But that's what I think is missing in most people's lives is, you know, distraction-free thinking time. Initially, it can be a little scary to be with yourself these days, because now it's just like, and you're wiring your brain, like, even if you're stopped at a traffic light, look at my phone and what, you know, what's going on, you know? And so being with yourself and being comfortable, you know, that's one of the ways to get to be 100 years old, like your aunt. So, you know, try to increase that time with yourself without all the technology. And a lot of great ideas, people say, well, I got this great idea in the shower, you know, and that's because there, the phone's, nothing's there. Right. And you have a little time to think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. So Blaine, I mean, I want to respect your time, because I know that it's very, you do a lot with it, unlike someone else. So, you know, we're kind of getting to that part of the show. Is there something that you would, I know we could continue this discussion for an hour, because I'm having a great time with you and getting so many tips, but is there anything you wish I would have asked you? Anything really in particular that you want to share that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I want the listeners to really understand is that you have the most power you have is over yourself, right? It's influencing yourself, this concept of self-fluence. But that's where you have the most control, not over circumstances, not over other people. It's yourself. And if you will tap in to that power that you have, that's going to be the greatest thing you could do with your life. And you can turn it around. I mean, you know, Christine at 50 found herself not in a good situation, you know, financially, and turn that around, you know, and so you can, but it starts with your thoughts and how you think and who you hang around with, all those inputs into your thoughts and your brain, the food you eat, whether you exercise, all that stuff counts, but it's how you are thinking about life. That's what makes the big difference. And that's why I table, what you think about, you bring about. That was what I did my TEDx talk on. And actually, if anybody wants to you know, see that talk, you can go to blainetedx.com. So blainetedx.com. And you'll get a copy of that. We'll be connected. And in that talk, I talk about a little bit of a mind hack, where you can remind yourself of your bring about statement 60 to 160 times a day automatically. So that's kind of a cool little elegant way to start to take control of your mind. But that's your greatest asset, is the 3-pound tool. And I hope that you use it to its full advantage.
Excellent. So Blaine, do you help individuals or just corporations, or how do you, If people want to get their brain under control,
great
how
question.
Can they reach out to you?
a lot of my work is with private mastermind groups, but recently I started to do more things for business owners or anybody, but primarily business owners. And so, I have master classes. My favorite thing to do every month, 3 to 4 days a month, I do this thing called a Super Results Day, where a bunch of us come together on Zoom. We have accountability every 3 hours. There's like a topic that I share on. But the main thing is that you get everything out of your head on paper, and then you just crush your own personal to-do list and all your loose ends. So anyway, that's probably the most fun thing I do. But yeah, go to blainetedx.com, opt in there. You'll hear about those days. And if I can serve you in any way, I'm happy to do it. I've been working from home for a long time, so I have a pretty good schedule. Now the kids are out of the nest. So my wife and I have a little bit more time even.
Beautiful. Blaine, thank you so much. I've loved talking with you. And thank you, listener, for listening. I know you have a choice of podcasts, right? 2 million, I think, and counting podcasts, but I'm excited that you found us today and that you found Blaine. And I greatly encourage you to implement some of the tools that he's like, put yourself into day before vacation mode. And you'll enjoy it, especially if you take a few days off and really actually have a little bit of a vacation just to get your brain thinking in the right direction. And share this with someone who you know is in overwhelm, who could really use the help that Blaine has shared with us today. And have a fantastic week. We'll see you next week.